Very warm good morning to everybody. It's glad we can fellowship and worship together. God is good. It's good to be in God's house. I'm very glad that you took the time out of your busy day and schedules to come and worship. It's a good place. It's where we need to be. And as the COVID changes, it's just nice to be back together in fellowship. I hope you're able to see the fellowship hall that's being built. We had a get-together yesterday. We were celebrating graduation. Joseph graduated. It was very nice with family. So we came back that way. If you haven't seen on the back road, you can see all the stuff that's happening there, which is really cool. So it's good. It's nice to see. Continue to pray for it. Lift it up. There's construction schedules back there. And we'll keep you updated as it continues to move along. I do have a couple announcements I want to share with you. You know, we've been without a secretary for quite a while. Miss Mike very much. We work very well together, and that's a blessing because it's made my work somewhat easier, but it's still stuff we got to get done. Well, we interviewed Quinita Garth. I know the family. I don't know Quinita all that well, but I do know Quinita's family. And we're waiting to hear back, so we'll see how that goes. But keep that in your prayers. And these two announcements are somewhat related because since we don't have a secretary, communications from the office is really a little bit hampered. And it's just, it is what it is. I'm kind of limping through. And you guys that are joining us online, you know, it's just a reality. So we're looking forward to having a secretary there. Why am I telling you all this? Because it's newsletter time. We're getting ready to produce a newsletter at the end of the month. If you have anything you would like to put in the newsletter, please reach out to me or Chris Rogie. And that way we'll make sure that we get it in there. We don't want to miss any important articles. And so I think it would be good. When we get the secretary, we'll have better communications. But I just want to share that with you so that you would know, and we'd be happy to share information that would be relevant for the congregation. So I just want to let you know that. And again, God's richest blessings to you as we fellowship. This is the seventh Sunday of Easter. Cross will go after this. We're looking forward to the festival of Pentecost next weekend. So it's exciting. We've been talking about the Holy Spirit. We'll continue working off the readings. Beautiful prayer that Jesus prayed. Looking forward to sharing the Word of God with you, singing, praying, fellowshipping together. Let's stand. And you that are joining us at home, God's richest blessings to you as we worship together in Christ. Let's lift up our voices and sing five verses. Crown him with many crowns.
Thank you.
We begin our worship in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Amen.
I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you
Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess unto you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. Wherefore we flee for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking and imploring your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. Together, O most merciful God,
rescue us.
God's Son to die for us. Have mercy upon us, and for his sake grant us remission of all our sins. And by your Holy Spirit, increase in us true knowledge of you, and of your will, and true obedience to your word,
to the end
that by your grace
we may come
to everlasting life
through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, has had mercy upon us and has given his only Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. To those who believe on his name, he has given the power to become the children of God and has promised them his Holy Spirit. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Gracious Lord, grant this unto us all. Amen. Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray. Gracious Lord, your presence, knowledge, and love exceeds our understanding. Preserve our faith that we never fall from you, and that at last grant us everlasting life that you have prepared for us through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. To invite David to come forward to share a scripture reading. Thank you, David.
Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey away. And when they had entered, they went up to the upper room, where they were staying. Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus and Simon the Zealot and Judas the son of James, all these were with one accord with, devoting themselves to prayer together with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. In those days, Peter stood up among the brothers. The company of persons was in all about 120, and said, "Brothers, the scripture had been fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke before by the mouth of David, concerning Judas, who became a guide to those who arrested Jesus, for he was numbered among us, and he was allotted his share in this ministry. Now this man acquired a field from the reward of his wickedness, and falling headlong, he burst open in the middle, and all of his bowels gushed out. And it became known to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so that the field was called there in their own language, Akadama, and that is the field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, 'May his camp become desolate, and there be no one to dwell in it, and the last of another will take his office.' So one of the men who have accompanied us during this time, that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John until the day when he was taken up from us, three of these men must become with us a witness to his resurrection. And they put forward two, Joseph, called Barabbas, and who was also called Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and they said, 'You, Lord, who know the hearts of all, show us which one of these two you have chosen to take the place in this ministry and to apostleship from which Judas turned aside to go to his own place.' And they cast out and they cast lots for them, and the lot fell on Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God.
Second readings from Revelation 22, 1 through 6, and 12 through 20. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lord, through the middle of the street of the city. Also on either side of the river, the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the tree were for healing of the nations. No longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and the Lamb will be in it. And his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads, and night will be no more. They will need no light or lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. And he said to me, 'These words are trustworthy and true. spirits of all the prophets, has sent his angel to show his servants what must soon take place. Behold, I am coming soon, bringing my recompose with me to repay each one for what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes so that they may have the right of the tree of life, and that they may enter the city by the gates. Outside are the dogs and the sorcerers and the sexually immoral and the murderers and the idolaters and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you about these things to the churches. I am the root and the descendants of David and the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come, and let one who hears say, come, and let one who is thirsty come, and let one who desires to take the water of life without price. I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book, if anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of this book of the prophecy, God will take away his share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this book. He who testifies to those things says, and surely I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please rise for the reading of the gospel.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 17th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you have sent me and love them, even as you loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am, to see my glory that you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, even though the world does not know you, I know you. And these know that you have sent me. I made known to them your name, and I will continue to make it known, that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Let us confess. I believe in God, Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated while we sing. Bless you. Thank you. To be one in Christ. That's what we're going to look at today. And you have an outline in your bulletin. I would encourage you to please follow along with that. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, open up our hearts and minds. We thank you for the love, sacrifice of Jesus Christ that makes us pure before you, Lord. May your Holy Spirit work faith, sustain faith within us. The words of my mouth, the meditations of all our hearts would be acceptable in your sight. You are our strength and our Redeemer. So in this prayer, Jesus prays three different things. And what he prays is first for himself. That's a little bit of encouragement for you and me. It's okay to pray for yourself because God knows you and he listens. And Jesus does, starts off his prayer like that. Next, he prays for his disciples and the 11 who were left. Gospel notes very clear. He says, however, I do not ask for these only, but for those who believe in me through their word. And if a person accepts and believes the first part of Jesus' prayer, they are Jesus' disciples too. They would be us, and there would be us and countless other believers who have met Jesus, but met him through the Spirit and the testimony of Christ and his apostles. So, and then last, he prays for his church. That's the part we're going to look at today. If we're going to take this prayer of Jesus that he prayed with any serious level of acceptance, this begs the question of what does unity mean? I counted that Jesus mentions unity 8 times at least in these 6 verses. And so I would tend to think that that is a major theme here. So my hope that in sharing with you this morning is to ask you to think about what unity means. In verse 22 and in verse 23, the glory that you have given me, I have given to them, Jesus prays, that they may be one even as we are one. I and them, you and me, that they may be perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved me even as you loved me. Wow, that is a very deep verse. But Jesus talks about unity, and he talks about glory going hand in hand. So let me describe briefly from my readings and my study probably what glory means in this context. First, the glory of God. It's a manifestation, it's a display of God, his attributes, his perfection. I mean, everything that God is, it is wonderful. His wisdom, his power, his justice, his mercy, his faithfulness, his majesty, revealed in the acts of creation, in his providence, in his care for us, in our redemption, saving us from sin, giving us eternal life. The power and authority that Jesus Christ had and that his apostles saw him have exercised over wind and sea. They're out on the sea and he just speaks to it and it stops. And in one of the gospels, when he does that, all of a sudden they're at the other side of the lake immediately. I mean, there's many. There's just so many examples of it. How about making something out of nothing? He feeds 4,000, 5,000 people in another instance, and he has just 7 loaves of fish, 7 loaves of bread and 2 fish, and it just completely makes something out of nothing. And I think it's the most incredible when you think that he personally commands the resurrection of no less than 3 people in the Bible, the widow of Nain, and then you have the little girl, he says, Talitha Kumi, and she just wakes up and starts talking, and then, of course, Lazarus. Beautiful text. He spoke of forgiveness to the penitent, to the impenitent. And I want you to think about this, to think about his glory, that he didn't require anybody to do anything to receive it. He just gave it freely. Now, the greatest thing of his glory is his death on the cross for us. That has to be the most amazing. You know, you and I would not think it glorious to see our loved one betrayed, tortured, given no justice, spitefully rejected, and killed on a cross. God did. You know, the thing is, we don't understand a lot about God. His ways are higher than our ways. God is a warrior, and he fights for us, and he wins by giving up his own life. Jesus is a measure of love. This is his glory. For the joy that was set before him, the Bible tells us, he endured the cross. What was the joy? What was the joy that he had? What did he die for? It was to bring us back into the love that he shared with the Father and the Spirit. His joy and his glory included having love for us. But you know, it's not just a static picture. It's not just like a picture you see in a museum or anything like that. It includes a profound knowledge of us. He created each one of us uniquely. He understands us. And more importantly, he has this fascination. He wants us to appreciate the glory that he has in creating and in creating our lives, the lives of others. He wants our lives to shine with his glory. Basically, the world is an audience for the manifestation of God's perfect knowing understanding. Can you imagine Jesus intrigued? As he sat back and with loving fascination, he would look at how the apostles, who were very different in personality, solved issues and problems and talked about things. Isn't it to God's glory to be appreciated in that way? You know, and if he isn't appreciated in the ways that I'm describing, creation is just incomplete. So what I'm getting to is when we come to see this as really good news, that our eternal joy rests in the unshakable foundation of Jesus' own glory and his power and his love, it can make us fearless, happy, the happiest people on the planet Earth. And I believe this is what Jesus is praying for. I really do. In his prayer, that you and I would see this. It's not enough for us to know how wise and powerful and faithful and just God is. We must taste it. We must sense it. We must love and delight in his perfections the way that he does. Thus, I think Jesus is hoping and praying that you and I would see his aim. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am, to see my glory that you have given me, because the love you have for me before the foundation of the world. We are the answer to this prayer. You and I. The world is dark and does not know God. It is ignorant of how beautiful the Lord really is. The values and the goodness, the love, and the grace of God hidden from us, unless God opens our eyes, unless God opens our eyes. And in verse 25, Jesus prayed, O righteous Father, the world does not know you. But Jesus is quite clear in his prayer. He says, I know you, and these know that you have sent me. I made known to them your name, and I will continue to make it known, that the love with which you have loved me may be in them and I in them. Jesus knows. He understands that from the beginning of time, the relationship that he had with God and the beauty of that relationship, we don't. But don't despair. Jesus said where the hope is for people. It's to know that Jesus Christ came from God, is one with God, to be confident that his word and spirit will continue to live in us, making God known to us. From the word of God, when we read it, we learn about who Jesus is. We look at that, we see that, and through the power of God's Holy Spirit living in us, we see how beautiful God is. God's values, God's riches, the grace of Jesus Christ are beautiful to us. They become our values too. This is the heart of unity that Jesus Christ is praying for. You see, the unity that Jesus is praying for centers on making known the beauty of who we know God to be. My question is, do we really know him? And what shines through us about him in our lives? This is what Jesus is praying for. In them, and in you, Father, in me, from this union with God and the glory that it gives, shines something that the world may see if God gives them eyes to see it. God's aim is that this vertically rooted relationship with him, you know, sometimes people seek to have unity and love apart from Christ, but what we need is Jesus. What we need is Christ, because unity and love without Christ has no value in eternity. Being one with Christ is the key. Let me just leave with you some implications of this. One implication, I just have three I would like to finish up with. One implication of this prayer that Jesus prayed is to seek the fullness of the uniting, the unity creating Holy Spirit. Paul writes, he says, don't get drunk with wine, because then that is debauchery. Debauchery is like pointless living. He says, but be filled with the Spirit. And you know, Jesus made an interesting comment in Luke. He says, how much more will God give the Holy Spirit to those who ask it? Isn't that a great promise? And he tells us, seek to be led by the Holy Spirit and bear fruits of the Spirit. That's Galatians 5:18 and 22 through 23. For these things are like cogs in the wheels of love. And if one is a stranger to the Holy Spirit, they will care little about the unity that he builds. No, so I say strive, strive. And that is a good Lutheran word. It's a good Lutheran word because the world, the flesh, and the devil are never going to give up on us. And so it is good for us to plunge in and seek to attain the unity of faith through the knowledge of the Son of God. That is right from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13. And he tells us in 2 Peter, he says, grow. 2 Peter 3:18, grow in the knowledge and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Share by every means you can what you see of Christ, what you know of Christ, what the Word of God reveals of him. In Colossians, it tells us in 3:16 that the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching you, admonishing one another with all wisdom and love. Lastly, and I think this really hits to the heart, love Christians across boundaries. Seek to be full of unity, creating Holy Spirit. Absolutely. Jesus is clearly praying for that. Strive to know and spread true views of Christ and his ways. Absolutely. You can see it throughout his whole prayer and his ministry. Love Christians across boundaries. Cultivate affections across differences for those who are truly our brothers and sisters in Christ. Human beings, me included, have never been good at this. Consider a quote that I found from a preacher named Spurgeon. Perhaps you've heard of it. He was talking in a sermon when he preached at the Metropolitan Tabernacle. He said, where the Spirit of God is there, there must be love. And if I have once known and recognized any man to be my brother in Christ, the love of Christ constraineth me. No more to think of him as a stranger or a foreigner, but as a fellow citizen with the saints. Now Spurgeon preaches in his sermon, I hate high churchism as my soul hates Satan, but I love George Herbert, although George Herbert is a desperately high churchman. I hate high churchism, but I love George Herbert from my very soul. I have a warm corner in my heart for every man who is like him. Let me find a man who loves my Lord Jesus Christ as George Herbert did, and I do not ask myself whether I should love him or not. There is no room for question, for I cannot help myself unless I can leave off loving Jesus Christ. I cannot cease loving those who love him. In reliance on the Word and the Spirit and the humility of Christ, we will arrive united together. And I want to encourage you this week to do something about this prayer of Jesus Christ. Rejoice in unity. Rejoice in your unity with God through Christ. Rejoice in your unity with God's people through Christ. Forgive a believer against whom you're holding a grudge, as however that may apply. Praise God for the unique personalities that he's given us. What's at stake? The world knowing what Jesus is like. In Jesus' name, amen. I invite you to rise, please. Our service will continue. As we sing our offertory, you'll find the music on page 192. As you go before our Heavenly Father in prayer, you'll notice in your bulletins that I have updated a few things. And Harry and Hillary helps me out with this. They're enjoying Yellowstone. So we thank God for the time that he's given them to be away. We thank God for Ken Rhodes' healing. The Lord graciously heard our prayers for health and healing. And our graduates, Yosef, it was great to celebrate with you yesterday. God's blessings to you and your future at U of I. We're very excited for you. And also, I added an immediate concern. It's a friend of Mabel's. Mabel's with us today, Beverly Pyatt. Be able to meet about some very serious spiritual questions. And we'll lift this up to God and ask God's blessings. It's good that we can gather with God's people and lift up our concerns to Him. Let's do that now in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending us exactly what we need. Lord, you know we need life. We need forgiveness of sins. And with our sins freely forgiven, Lord, we boldly come to your throne of grace. Thank you, Lord, for receiving us, not by our works or our achievements or anything, but because you love us, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And your prayer that we heard in the gospel is so incredibly positive, seeing the goodness of what your love has done and is doing. Lord, in your mercy. And Lord God, we ask that you would continue to encourage us and bless us, Lord. Some of us face difficult and hard burdens. And we ask, Lord, that you would always remind us that you are beside us. Your word is, your Holy Spirit is. Lord, convince us, encourage us, bless us to know we are your children in Christ. Lord, in your mercy. Dear Heavenly Father, bless our ministries. We ask, please, that you would bless the work on the fellowship hall. You keep the workers safe. Bless the work you're doing in our hearts and minds as we seek to serve you and give glory to you through our ministry in it and in our small groups, the relationships, one with another, deeper with you. Bless the LWML and the tasks that they have, Lord. Thank you for the preschool, for getting them through this year. Bless the year to come and bring many students, Lord, fill them up, and we pray that the seed sown in the hearts of these little ones would bear good fruit. Bless our work in Haiti with Trinity Hope. Lord, we ask that you protect them in this troubled land, that the physical food they receive, the spiritual food, would bless them in every way. Bless the Stouts in their church planting effort. Lord, we thank you. We thank you, and we continue to ask you to inspire us and use us, Lord, in ministry. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious Heavenly Father, we know that there are many brothers and sisters, whether it's Ukraine or other places of the world, that live in great suffering. And it's very challenging. Help them to know that we stand beside them in prayer. Help them to know, Lord, that you never leave us nor forsake us, and that you have given them the privilege to witness the love of Jesus Christ. So, Lord, we lift them up to you and we ask your blessing. And for our government, Lord, we ask that you would bless them with the power that you've given them for a season. And that you would enable us and bless us, Lord, that we could worship you freely. And that you would grant us as citizens of your kingdom and as citizens of this nation to live a life full of dignity, love, and respect for all. Lord, in your mercy. Dear Heavenly Father, we have friends and family that need the special touch of your care. We rejoice and give you thanksgiving. For Ken Rowe, we pray you continually watch over him, Lord. Thank you. Your blessings and your healing to him. Lord, for Beverly Pratt, we just pray that you would speak peace to her heart. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that we have to meet and just to draw nearer to you and the power and love of your grace. Lord, we ask for graduates. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for leading them on to a new chapter in their life, Lord. Help them to look back at the chapter that closed and by your grace see how you got them through that and will continue to get them through anything that life brings their way, for you are our anchor. Lord, we have burdens. We have friends and family that we pray for. Lord, we have neighbors and workmates and associates and people that, Lord, we lift up to you. Hear our prayers. Lord, sometimes they burden our hearts and bring us to tears. But Lord, you bear our burdens, and you, Lord, respond to our prayers, bring healing, hope, and the help that is needed. For into your hands we commit everything for which we pray, trusting in your mercy, through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. And our service will continue now as we celebrate Holy Communion. My dear friends in Christ, the Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who out of love for his fallen creation humbled himself by taking on the form of a servant, becoming obedient unto death, even death upon a cross. Risen from the dead, he has freed us from eternal death and given us life everlasting. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify his glorious name, evermore praising you and singing. Join together in the prayer our Lord taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples, and he said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." The same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me." And dear friends in Christ, the peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen. Amen. Welcome to the Lord's table. Our usher, Fred Holkuebner, will lead you up to the altar. Christ, may this, the true body and blood of our precious Savior, strengthen and preserve us in true faith now and life everlasting. Let us depart in his with peace and his joy. Let's stand. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endures forever.
Let us pray. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, the fountain and source of all goodness, who in loving kindness sent your only begotten Son into the flesh. Lord, we thank you that for his sake you have given us pardon and peace in the sacrament. And we ask that you not forsake your children, but always to rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve you through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And may the Lord bless you. Keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen.
Amen. Let's remain standing while we sing the three verses of our closing hymn. God's blessings to you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Carrie, for playing and the beautiful amen at the end. As it says, have a blessed week. Go in peace. Serve the Lord.